since I can't get Chris, the mayor of Indianapolis, in the house, I figure let's go get the mayor of the fifth or sixth largest city in the state of Indiana. She is here, the pride of Northwest Indiana, the pride of Gary, Indiana, the former attorney general of Indiana, former judge up in Lake County, city of Gary, now the mayor of the great city of Gary, in the house, Sister Karen Freeman Wilson. Sister Mayor, how you doing? Welcome.
I'm doing great, Amos. How are you?
You look great.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we wanted to have it because there's a lot of still misinformation that we down here in the big, ugly capital city with Beltway have about Gary. You know, people's perception is nothing but a big vacant lot that everybody has left. The only people left in Gary are criminals and old folks and poor folks, that there's no business. They don't make steel in Gary anymore. And there are many people that go on their way to Chicago that drive on 80-90. And forget that there are signs that say that it is in the city limits of Gary, or they take out a loan to pay to get on the toll road, and they go through downtown Gary right quick. So what's going on in Gary?
There are a lot of things going on in Gary. We have new development going on in Gary that is anchored by Indiana University Northwest, as well as Ivy Tech. It's called the University Park Development. We're hoping, and in fact, one of the reasons that I've been spending some time in front of the General Assembly, we're hoping to get a teaching hospital and trauma center right in that footprint. But notwithstanding that, the universities are working together with the city, with local individuals and local businesses to create the University Park development that will have retail, that will have housing, that will be anchored by a university building. All of that's going on in Gary, Indiana.
Is it difficult to get retail to locate in Gary? Does everybody still want to run to Merrillville or Hobart or Hammond?
Certainly there's more development in Merrillville. There's more development in Hobart. But we're seeing people who are willing to establish retail outlets in Gary. We've just had in the last 30 days two new restaurants open up, actually in the last 90 days with the first one, and the other one is opening up in the next week. So we are seeing restaurants, and not just fast food restaurants, but fine dining, high-end restaurants open up, and they have more business than they know what to do with. So people are establishing and reestablishing their connection to Gary, Indiana. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not a challenge or heavy lift, but it is certainly one challenge that we're meeting, and we're getting the job done.
You, in a city like Gary, and many of the cities in Indiana, you know, have had to deal with property tax reform. Lake County was one of the ground zeros of the property tax rebellion. Sure. In fact, that's where the lawsuits that started all of this mess. How has your budget been impacted by property tax caps?
Oh, it's been devastated by it. In 2006, we had a $73 million budget. Today, we operate from $30 million, and that's from our property tax dollars. Now, of course, we have dollars from casino revenue, but those tend to be restricted. So there are only certain things that we can do with casino revenue.
Wait a minute. You had $70-plus million before property tax caps.
6 years later.
6 years later, just the money from property taxes is $30 million. What got cut? Good Lord.
Well, you know, a lot of things got cut. And the reality is that we are suffering. We're suffering in our ability to deliver basic services. Our general services department had more than 100 people working there at one time. Now we're closer to about 30 folks. So those types of things get cut. So you can't do dump site cleanup. You can't remove tree limbs. You are compromised in your ability to move snow. All of those issues and areas are impacted when you see a reduction in your budget that is created by property tax caps, you know.
Do you have the ability to get dollars from a local county option income tax in Lake County? Does any of that money, A, does that exist? A, and B, if it does any of that money flow to the city of Gary?
It does not exist currently, and that is part of our conversation right now, because the reality is that Lake County, mm-hmm. is the only county in the state of Indiana without a county option income tax. And because of that, the General Assembly has frozen the levy in Lake County. And so there's discussion now, and in fact, there is a bill underway that would allow us not only to pass the county option income tax, but that provides an incentive for us to do it, because it allows us to be flexible. And so it wouldn't just be used towards property tax relief. It would be used to fund economic development and some other discretionary items. But the city of Gary stands to get anywhere from 6 to 10 million from a local option income tax, depending on the formula that is used.
So the kinds of cuts of services that we're wrestling with here in Indianapolis and Marion County, you all have had to go through that.
We did it, and it hurt.
Hmm. Do the people understand that, and they're saying, you know, we're sorry we voted for that doggone property tax cap? Or are they saying, you know, find other dollars, find other ways?
They're saying find other ways. I think that it's hard for people to reconcile their jobs or their positions as homeowners, because, you know, even as a homeowner, I like the concept of having a property tax cap. Right. It's not until you have to run government mm-hmm. on the dollars that come from those taxes that you realize that it is a double-edged sword, and that it can be a significant challenge. And as a person who is entrusted in running or providing government and providing good government, you know, you say, hey, wait a minute, this is a problem.
How did the cuts impact public safety, police, and fire?
Well, you know, the good news about police and fire is that you have other sources of funding, but initially, we were forced, and this was prior to my tenure, but the city was forced to lay off 30 firefighters as a result of those property tax caps. Now, what has subsequently happened, we were able to replace those firefighters with a SAFER grant mm-hmm. from the federal mm-hmm. government. But that just underscores the threat that property tax caps have to public safety, specifically fire, and with police, we have COPS funding and other sources of funding.
Have there been any talk among the cities in Northwest Indiana, you know, to keep their city independence? You know, I don't think y'all can merge. I just don't. Knowing the pride of East Chicago and Hammond and Hobart and Gary and Merrillville and them, I don't see y'all doing a Unigov. But has there ever been talk of like a joint fire department or a joint police department, a way to spread those expenses out, those costs out?
You know, there really hasn't been mm-hmm. any talk of that sort around law enforcement, mm-hmm. but there has been an effort, and in fact, it is in existence underway relative to public transportation. Mm-hmm. So you have a regional bus authority.
Okay. So y'all got one of them that we trying to get.
Yes. Yes. Now, let me tell you about that regional bus authority. It is not operational right now because it has no funding source.
So you got the plan. The legislature won't give y'all no money.
Correct.
239-1310, 239-1310. You may have a question about Gary. This is your opportunity to find out what is going on in Gary from the mayor of Gary, Karen Freeman Wilson. What's the relationship now between the city and one of its favorite sons, Michael Jackson and the Jackson family?
We have a very good relationship with the Jackson family. In fact, we owe the Jackson family an answer, because recently they asked us, what are those things that we'd like to have them invest in mm-hmm. in the city of Gary? And so we've been talking about it internally and looking at some options. But Mrs. Jackson has come to Gary.
And the kids came, as I understand.
And the children
came. What did they think?
you know, the children, they were on vacation. Right. They love Gary. They are so happy to connect with a place that was a part of their dad's upbringing. And so they also have great relationships with their cousins who live in Gary. And so it's always a blast for them to come.
Did you get a sense meeting them that they are maturing faster than maybe people assumed, you know, because they lived in such, they grew up in such a cloistered and protective life, and now all of a sudden, one of the sons is doing something on Entertainment Tonight, daughter's doing something. It's like they come out of that, they're still protected, don't get me wrong, but they've kind of started to publicly blossom.
Well, you know, there's a sense, there's certainly a side of them that seems to be blossoming and doing so in the public eye. But there is every bit of a teenager, of little kid, because Blanket is only 11 now, to them as well. And so they still want to do and get involved with teenage things.
Right.
You know, one of the things I've heard is that Prince, the oldest, right, wants to bring his car when he comes to Gary. And that's a big, no, we don't think so. But,
I'd see him driving on a toll road. There you go.
I wouldn't like to see that.
You would like to see
it. Not as a parent, and certainly not as a mayor.
Call Governor Pence. He can block the toll road, and, you know, Paris can use it. You know, you can use it for a little bit. 239-1310, 239-1310. Let's get to some calls so the listeners can find out what's going on in Gary. Let me start with Camille. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
First, I share your grief about Councilman Evans, but I had a question for Mayor Freeman. With the tax caps, the property tax caps, and it does benefit the homeowner, but have you studied or your government studied other smaller communities like in Washington State somewhere where they don't have property tax, how they are able to fund their utilities and the EMTs and stuff like that? How are they able to fund it without property taxes?
Great question.
That is. And, you know, I'm aware of communities in other states that do that, but the way that it's done is that there are other line items in the state budget that aren't necessarily created by property tax caps, but are created by other types of taxes that people believe to be more equitable. So that would require not just reform in the city of Gary, but it would require statewide reform.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there. Anonymous, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to ask the mayor a question.
She's right here.
Okay, your opinion, do you think certain institutions that have a lot of land and don't pay taxes and use use police and fire, do you think it's time for them to start paying some kind of form of taxes? I'm talking about churches and other institutions that don't pay taxes. I'll take my answer off there. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Do you have a problem with a disproportionate amount of your property controlled by nonprofits?
You know, I think that, and we've begun to kind of look at this and consider it in the city of Gary, because there is a large amount of property, there are a large amount of parcels that are owned by nonprofit entities. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is, whether it's a user's fee, whether it's some type of payment in lieu of taxes, I think that would be appropriate. It should be done in a way that's commensurate with their budgets. But I think that many of our not-for-profits could afford to pay some type of fee that would assist in taking care of their needs as well as other parts of the community.
Gary, Indiana started out as a mill town, as a town built around United States Steel, you know, the big steel-making trust back in the early part of the 20th century. Do they still make steel in Gary?
They absolutely do, Amos. And, you know, of course, at the turn of the century, of the 20th century, rather, you had this a conglomerate. In fact, the first multi-million-dollar corporation of its type in the world that established Gary, Indiana. You still have a flagship operation of that corporation. Mm-hmm. It does not employ nearly the number of people that it did before. At its height, U.S. Steel employed 25,000 people in the city of Gary. Mm. Currently, they only employ about 4,500 people in the city of Gary, and you certainly don't.
That's still a large employer.
That's still a large employer. In fact, our largest. But you just don't see the related industries. Once upon a time, you had American Bridge, American Can, Continental Can, all of the related industries or the industries related to steel. You don't see that anymore.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And David, hi there.
Hello, Amos.
Hi.
Hello, Mayor Freeman.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Okay, hey, I was just wondering. I'm a friend, I'm an associate that's working with Pastor Kato Brooks up there in Gary.
Sure.
With the, I think he's doing a community redevelopment program.
Yes.
And I'm also really good friends with a gentleman who says he knows you well, and he was going to try to get us together. His name is John Roby.
Yes.
That lives here in town. But I was just wondering, if there's a program that I'd like to talk to you about for your youth. Who would I talk to in your office to make an appointment to drive up and sit down with you for about 30 minutes when I'm up in the Chicago area?
You would talk to Anika Johnson, and she would set that appointment for me.
Okay, and just call the city building?
Just call city building and ask for the mayor's office.
Okay, and I will call her, and I will try to get about 30 minutes of your time in the real near future.
That's
fine. I'm trying to introduce something to your city as well as Flint, Michigan, who's kind of suffering from some of the same issues with their youth.
Sure.
In the school problem, but I would definitely like to talk to you because I'm in Chicago quite a bit.
Thank you. So, I look forward to it.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. But before I go back to the phones, what do young people do in Gary? I mean, the reason I bring that up is we've had this issue of kids hanging out at Circle Center Mall, hanging out at Castleton, complaining there's nothing to do in Indianapolis. So we're the largest city in the state, and we've got kids complaining there's nothing for us to do in Indianapolis. So do you get the same complaint from teenagers and young teens and young adults in Gary?
They absolutely complain about the same thing, and part of it is just endemic to teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But they still hang out at the mall. It's not the mall in Gary, it's the mall in Merrillville, and they also center their activity around sporting events. I went to one of the sectionals this past weekend, and it was full because that's one of the focal points for young people in the community. But you know, there it goes without saying, Amos, we need more things for our young people to do.
Do the youth serving agencies here don't do as much for young people in the evenings, on Fridays, on Saturday during the day? Is that the same thing with Boys Club, Girls Club, Scouting in Gary?
We actually have a very active Boys and Girls Club, an active YWCA, as well as active scouting organizations. In fact, we're in the process of building a $5 million Boys and Girls Club, actually a $5 million renovation of a formerly vacated school. So there's a lot of activity that centers around Boys and Girls Club and other after-school type activities.
You mentioned renovating old school. I know the school system in Gary has downsized over the years. What's happened to those buildings? Are those part of the blight of some neighborhoods, or have people figured out how to reuse those buildings?
There are a number of those buildings that are being reused, like the old Tolleston school site that was previously closed will be the future home of the Girls and Boys and Girls Club. So it's under renovation. There are other sites that are being reused by local organizations, some churches, the Civil Rights Hall of Fame that former Mayor Hatcher is involved with.
Mm-hmm.
It is using an old school site. So to the extent that they can be reused, the school corporation is working with local organizations to get that done. But there are still a number of schools that are closed that need to be repurposed. And we are working very closely with the school corporation to look at ways to get that done.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And Anonymous, hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Hey, I got a question from Karen Freeman. I talked to you a while back on the radio station, and I've been trying to call and never got a response back, but I got a couple of questions today. As far as the school system,
okay.
They got 6th grade and 12th grade going to the same school system. The same school. I have kids that go down there, and I was just wondering, I'm like, ain't that kind of too young for 6th grade to be going to school with high school kids?
And what school are we talking about?
Westside.
at Gary Westside.
Yep.
That's a good question. And this came up when IPS put middle schools and high schools together in the same building. Have you gotten that feedback in Gary?
We have. And it was done a couple of years ago. And it's actually 7 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
So it's middle school. But actually a little bit beyond middle school. And what you find is that they keep them separate. They're in separate parts of the building. And certainly I understand the concern, but they've been able to work through that process, and it's actually served well.
Caller, you said you had a second question, or did that answer?
Yeah, another question. Mm-hmm. Now, are the sheriff department taking over the Gary Police Department down there, or what's the status with that?
No.
When I come in town, it's like they say, oh, there is no Gary Police Department. Everything going straight to the county.
Well, I think that's some misinformation, because the Gary Police Department is alive and well. Now, what is happening, and we're very pleased about it, is that not only is the Lake County Sheriff's Department, but the IU Police Department, police departments from neighboring communities, we all work together in Gary, in Hammond, in East Chicago, in other parts of the region to provide sweeps and to increase their numbers. And so maybe tonight the sweep is being done in Gary, tomorrow the sweep is being done in East Chicago, maybe the next day it's being done in Portage, but it increases their numbers. So, but the Gary Police Department is alive and well. In fact, I'm very proud to say that they are solving cold cases and really making sure that people who perpetrate crimes are being held accountable.
So instead of consolidating officers under one uniform, one color of cars, everybody's kind of working together as a team, maybe in different units. You're wearing different uniforms, different color cars, but everybody's on the same team.
Precisely. There are drug unit efforts. There are gang unit efforts. Different departments, but all working towards the same goal.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Latest. We're with Karen Freeman Wilson. She's the mayor of Gary. When we come back, we'll ask her about how her public schools are doing. We'll ask her about the takeover school. We'll ask her about the charter schools, including the charters that Ball State finally had to act because there were some horrible charter schools up there. But there's some great charter schools in Gary as well. So I don't want to say, just like here, we've got some great charter schools here. We've got some others that needed to go away. And we'll get to what y'all really want to talk about with Gary, Indiana, and that is the casinos. And because the state's trying to take away some of Gary's money. They make it from the casino. That ain't right. Y'all know that ain't right. Oh, tomorrow, in her fourth day on the job, the interim superintendent of the Indianapolis Public Schools, Dr. Peggy Hinckley, will be here with us live. That's in our second hour. And then Friday. Oh, because, you know, it's Friday. Me and Abdul only on Fridays. And we will be live from the State of the City speech. Not Karen Freeman Wilson's State of the City speech. This is Greg Ballard, Mayor Greg Ballard's State of the City speech. We'll bring you his speech live so that nobody can say that we didn't give our community an opportunity to directly hear from the mayor. And then y'all can have at it. Anyway, that is on our Friday show. But it's Afternoons with Amos, brought to you by the Indiana Civil Rights Commission.
Hello.
All right, we're back with Karen Freeman Wilson, the mayor of Gary, Indiana. So you guys have one school that Tony Bennett took over. Now Tony's gone. Glenda Ritz says she doesn't want to be in the takeover business. Has the city approached Glenda Ritz, the superintendent of public instruction, and said, hey, you let the mayor of Indianapolis oversee the contracts for the takeover schools in Indianapolis. Let the city of Gary oversee the contract with Edison for the takeover school in Gary.
You know, we've had some preliminary conversations with State Superintendent Ritz, but we are also respectful of the fact that the school corporation is actually talking to the Edison Learning folks along with the state superintendent, and they're trying to work through what that ought to look like, what the Roosevelt situation should look like. We've worked very closely with Edison Learning, and so to the extent that take the supervision allows us to get information and allows us access to certain things. We have that.
How would you characterize how Edison is doing with historic Gary Roosevelt?
Well, we have some concerns, mm-hmm. and it's largely because of the fact that, you know, one of the issues early on was recruitment of the students and, you know, how they would recruit the students and then allowing the students not to just be involved with academics, but also involved in extracurricular activity that promotes character building, that promotes leadership, that promotes all of the other characteristics that make a student well-rounded. There was a problem with the deadline relative to their participation with IHSAA sports and basketball. So, you know, when you start missing and doing those things, then that's a concern.
And Edison was supposed to be the one that was the expert at working in urban areas, in places like Gary, and I think in urban areas on the East Coast, whereas Ed Power here was just working in Indianapolis, and Charter Schools USA had never crossed the Mason-Dixon line. So that's surprising to hear that Edison was not there. The decision by Ball State finally to pull the plug on some charter schools that were not in the kind of excellence that Thea Bowman, who I think is one of the great charter schools in this state, period,
absolutely.
That's in Gary. Just so y'all know, Thea Bowman puts Tinley to shame. No disrespect to Tinley, but Thea Bowman knocks it out to park. They may be the best charter school in the state of Indiana in terms of student achievement.
They've done extremely well.
Why did they succeed and others didn't in your city?
You know, I think that Thea Bowman certainly has a great plan. Mm-hmm. They have wonderful administrators in addition to a board that knows the community extremely well. And members of their board themselves were just stellar educators in the public school system. So they understand student achievement and what's important in creating achievement among young people.
The decision to close two schools, and I believe it, both of them are in Gary, correct
yes,
me if I'm wrong.
That is correct.
Where does that stand? How are parents taking that? What's the ramifications, and what is the Gary schools doing to try to get those kids, encourage those kids to come back home to the Gary community schools?
The parents are concerned. There are appeals in both cases mm-hmm. underway. Mm-hmm. And again, the new superintendent, Dr. Cheryl Pruitt, is in communication with both schools to determine whether a partnership can be created.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And Elsie, hi there.
Hi.
You're on the air. What's up?
And how old are you and your guest?
Mm-hmm.
I heard her say something about they were building a $5 million, what was that, for youth?
Boys and Girls Club in Gary.
Okay, I called about few weeks ago about, you know, the problems in the city of Indianapolis. You know, that's what they needed, boys and girls clubs and more like a YMCA and things like that. And I remember you asking me where were they going to get the money from. I should have said Warren Buffett or either Bill Gates. Or
let me ask the
Pacers or somebody.
Well, hold on. Let me ask.
But anyway,
Let me ask the mayor of Gary, where did they get the money from?
Well, we didn't have any of those sources, but they all sound like good answers. Times of Northwest Indiana, the publisher of the Times, spearheaded the public effort to raise funds.
So this was Northwest Indiana folk, Gary folk, giving, and the head of the newspaper spearheaded it.
Absolutely. Coming together. NIPSCO was a part of it.
The electric company, right?
White Foundation, mm-hmm. The Dean and Barbara White Foundation was a part of it, and they gave in significant sums. They gave significant sums, and everybody else came together, even to the point that there was a two-day community effort to clean out the school with, you know, from the old things that the school had in there many moons ago. So it was a joint effort throughout the community.
Elsie, you want to add something?
That's what it should be here.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just want to say that what's the crime like there up in Gary? Because we sure have a lot of crime here.
Well, you know, Gary has historically been challenged with crimes, but what we've seen, particularly when you look at robbery and burglary, those numbers are down. We're still troubled and still concerned by the violent crime, and in fact, we had an increase in murders last year, but that increase represents 42 murders. Now, to their families and to the individuals, that's still a lot, too many. But still, that is also a number that is much lower than it has historically been in Gary.
All right. Appreciate it, Elsie. Great questions. 239-1310. 239-1310. Afternoon's News. Back to the phones and Citizen Bill Crawford. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How are you doing?
Fine.
Madam Mayor, how are you doing?
How are you, Representative Crawford?
I'm doing great. Blessed.
Excellent.
I have a question, Madam Mayor, about the economic development initiative you had mentioned. And let me say at the outset that I am still agonized every day that we have been not able to get for that area of the state of Indiana a level one or level two trauma center. I know you mentioned that, but it's very unfortunate that people have to be lifeline to by helicopter to other trauma centers in even out of state in Chicago and other places around, even here to Indianapolis, based on the lack of a level one or two trauma center. And you mentioned that at the outset. But I was concerned about and am offering in any way with your direction that we can, in Indianapolis can help with the Gary Airport. That has potential for a lot of economic development, as you well know, and based on the proximity to Chicago. And I was troubled to read that it's one of the airports that might be impacted negatively by the sequester. But what is the status of the development as it relates to the Gary Airport?
That's a good point. And Gary Airport, ever since former Mayor Daley shut down the airport on the lakefront, Miggs Field, Gary Airport is the de facto third airport in the Chicago area. What goes in there? I know it's planes, but what kind of planes?
Well, there's a lot of private service, mm-hmm. but we also have charters, and we have one commercial airlines, Allegiant Airlines, mm-hmm. that flies every week to Sanford, Florida, which, of course, is right outside of Orlando. Okay. Representative Crawford, I certainly appreciate that question and that interest and support. The airport is doing extremely well. We're in the midst of a $160 million expansion that includes building a longer runway, removing a barrier. And what that will really position us to do is, one, get commercial service that goes further. So we will be able to say to Allegiant, we want you to go to Las Vegas. And we know from prior conversations with them that they already want to go to Las Vegas out of Gary. In addition to that, it will allow us to do domestic cargo service, which is something that
the FedEx, UPS, the post office,
or DHL.
DHL.
And, you know, both FedEx and UPS have increased or expanded recently in local markets, so they might not be the entity that would increase in Gary, but certainly DHL might want to expand their footprint by coming into Gary. And you're right, we are the third Chicago airport. If you look at the Chicago Aviation Department's marketing material, it lists Gary right along with O'Hare and Midway because of a compact that was created between Chicago Aviation Department and the Gary Airport Authority Board.
Are you concerned? Have you gotten any indication from the federal government that on this sequester that they would sequester your control tower and it wouldn't operate? The people wouldn't be there?
Well, there's certainly a prospect, but what would happen is that because of a backup system, people would still be able to utilize the Gary Airport. So it's not in danger of shutting down the traffic. You just wouldn't have the benefit of the control tower.
So it's similar to the airports around Indianapolis where you can land safely if you got the equipment and what have you, and then everything's run out of some big control tower either at O'Hare anyway. Because,
that is correct.
Okay, so it's just, let me say, follow this path, you know, and you land in Gary.
Precisely.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310. Thank you, Bill. Let me go to Brother Kareem. Hi there.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Mayor, I would like to know, back to the school situation, what kind of curriculum do your public school system have there, and the material that they give the children dealing with multicultural and historic, is it the contemporary, or are the public school material changing there as opposed to what we see in here in Indianapolis, Indiana? The reason why I ask that is a lot of students are upset here about the concept of slavery when they look at those textbooks, and then they're sitting next to the counterpart, European Caucasian counterpart, and they're having issues. I don't want to get into the details. What I want to know is, are they changing the way they're teaching our children there as African Americans, as opposed to how they're dealing with the Mexican or anybody else, or are they still giving them the same literature? Because it seemed to me that the historical facts are not given in its proper context, and it's still leading our children to an illusion that they're going to be a permanent underclass. So how can you address that?
That's a great question, because mostly the Gary school system is virtually all us-in. It's virtually all black, some Latinos, some white, but it's basically, 90-some-odd percent us?
You know, one of the benefits of a school system that is predominantly black, Amos, quite frankly, is that historically, when I was in high school, and that was a few years ago, we learned literature. We certainly learned what was prescribed by the state, but we also learned about Paul Laurence Dunbar, and we read James Baldwin, and we read all of the other literature that you would not necessarily read in other school systems. The same is true in terms of how history was taught then and how it's taught now. So there's no Department of Multiculturalism in the Gary schools, there is a very Afrocentric way that the teachers there teach just about every subject that students find to be very empowering and very helpful when they leave Gary.
Is it a challenge, though, to teach that curriculum when ISTEP comes along and ISTEP does not reflect that? Or some of the questions don't reflect that? Let me be fair to ISTEP.
Not at all, because there's a way to weave that into your everyday teaching that allows students to learn the material that they need for ISTEP, but that also allows them to come away from their learning experience feeling good about themselves and who they are.
All right, let me get to the casinos. Trying to save the gambling toward. When Indiana started casino gamblings, Illinois didn't have nothing. The Native Americans hadn't learned how to find a way to figure out how to get a casino. Ohio never wanted to see a casino. Kentucky, the only thing they wanted to do was have horse racing. Now everybody's in the business. Indiana has been the third largest gaming state in the country, and that monopoly is now threatened. First of all, how many casinos currently are in Gary?
There are two casinos in Gary. Historically, there was one owned by Donald Trump and one owned by Don Barton.
Don Barton's a brother.
The late
Don Barton.
Was a brother.
Yeah, great guy.
Donald Trump, of course, sold his casino to Don Barton. And so while there are two separate boats, they're owned by the Majestic Corporation. Don Barton has since passed, and they went through a difficult time. They're out of bankruptcy now, and they're owned by Majestic. So we have two casino boats, and you're right, the competition has been grueling.
Where's the competition? I know there is a Native American casino or two in the state of Michigan, right
just
over the border.
Over the border.
They mysteriously found a reservation that didn't exist, and it's Have you tried to get some Native Americans? Say, come on, we'll unearth some land and figure out that you had a reservation back in the day.
I'm looking for some.
You're looking for that.
What
competition, though, is in Illinois?
The competition in Illinois actually is in Joliet.
Okay.
However, there is a threat of
they've been trying to threat a casino in downtown Chicago forever.
They keep talking about it. And there's also a new casino right outside of O'Hare called the Rivers Casino that is really very
outside
nice.
The airport?
Less than a mile from the airport, Amos.
How did Mayor Emanuel let that slip?
It worked out somehow.
And so how has that impacted the revenues of the casinos in Northwest Indiana, specifically in Gary?
There has been a reduction in casino revenue throughout the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Last year, there was about a 10% reduction from this time in 2012 to the current year. We've seen about a 10% reduction, and it's expected that it will continue. And that's why we're looking to do other things with our casinos, specifically develop land-based gaming. And my idea is to do it along 8094, because you have 300,000 cars traveling
right there on the big highway. People may not understand that the cities that have casinos in Indiana get a cut.
Absolutely.
Where do you get your cut from? So if I were to walk to the Majestic Casino in Gary, how do you get a piece of the dollars and the nickels that I got in my pocket?
It comes from the admissions tax.
So I walk in, so it's not a free admission, because I got to pay something just to walk in the casino.
You don't pay.
Okay.
But the you have to go through a turnstile.
So when I go through the clicker.
And they count the head.
Okay. So when I go through there, what's your cut? Just walking in the door.
I get a piece of every person that comes in. I get a part of every dollar, or every individual is counted, and then they apportion it to the city, mm-hmm. to the county, to the state. Everybody gets a piece of that pie.
So if I went up there this weekend, went in Majestic for an hour, left, went to McDonald's, went back in again, you get me twice?
Every time.
I could just be going round and round and round. I'm trying to help the mayor.
You know, that's an idea, Amos. Maybe I'll get a campaign going.
So I understand the legislature wants to take that away from you?
Well, in the beginning, there was a floor that was established. So mm-hmm. there was a threshold amount.
Minimum amount.
A minimum
Gary
amount.
Gary gets this, or Vive and all the little towns, everybody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that amount for Gary represents about $6 million a year.
Uh-oh.
And so now the legislature wants to remove that threshold amount, and that could mean that we would get fewer than $2 million. So they're taking away it.
It's like a guaranteed minimum.
Yes.
They want to take away the guarantee.
They want to take away the guaranteed minimum.
In a slow market.
And then they're saying that you can just get a percentage. And that percentage for us is substantially lower.
And that's not just hurting you all and Hammond and East Chicago, but that's hurting all those towns on the river.
Absolutely. And you know, the interesting part though.
Those are areas that used to be Democrat to turn Republican. That could anger them people so much they'll go back to be Democrat.
Precisely. Now the other thing though is that Hammond isn't harmed by that new formula, because they are one of the, if not the most profitable casino.
Now that's the casino next to the Walmart.
That's the one next to the
Walmart. How'd they work that deal?
Well, you know, it worked out from a developer standpoint. You've got a Walmart, you've got a casino, you go and gamble.
And Walmart next to the boat. I looked at that and I said, how is that illegal?
It's illegal.
239-1310. So is the solution allowing you all to build a casino nowhere near the lake? And I think that's what all the towns are asking.
Precisely.
And you and Vive and French Lick is not on the water, kind of, sort of. But everybody, you know, give us the tools to compete.
We believe that the best solution to this is to provide the tools to compete, namely allowing the latitude for casinos to move away from the water and move on to land, because then it becomes not just a gaming development. It becomes an economic development tool that would bring restaurants, that brings hotels, that brings all sorts of development.
And how many people that live in Gary work in the casinos?
There are about 2,000 people that live in Gary and work in the casinos. Well, the casino employs about 2,000 people. Not all of those people live in Gary, but a significant number of them do.
So, wait a minute. You got U.S. Steel at 4,500.
Yes.
The casinos at 2,000.
Yes.
That's a big employer.
That's a major employer. The hospital is a big employer as well.
239-1310. 239-1310 is After News Namus. We'll be back with our remaining moments with the mayor of Gary, Karen Freeman Wilson. 100 Black Men coming up. And we forgot, because we were just so dealing with the serious news of yesterday of Jose Evans walking the wrong way down the Damascus Road. I'm just being real now. Just being real. And we forgot to give away the two pair of tickets that we had for yesterday to the 33rd Annual Center for Leadership Development Minority Achievers Dinner.
Yes.
Mayor Wilson, she remembers that dinner.
You got honored
at one of them once.
I did, once upon a time, and I understand that they're honoring my friend Robin Winston this year, and so I'm excited about that and upset that I can't attend.
All right, but she knows all that, and they're giving out millions of dollars in scholarships to young kids.
They do. In fact, I've talked to Dennis about how we might be able to partner with them to bring them to Gary.
There you go. It's Afternoons with Amos. More after these. Back to the phones, and Fletcher. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. I was calling for Mayor Freeman. I have two questions. I wanted to know, I used to live in Gary, and now I reside here in Indianapolis, but my parents are still up there. So, you know, we visit often, and my in-laws are up there, too. But the question I wanted to know was, when we visit there, like the Parks Department, why is it that you all don't have the funding to have the parks and the grass cut, or can they develop a program with people who are not working to be able to cut the grass at the local parks? And also, for... like Michael Jackson being a part of, or the Jackson family being a part of Gary, Indiana, why is it that you can't, like, develop a way like Memphis has done for Elvis, like something, a tourism spot that can generate funds for Gary? Just wanted your comments on that.
Sure. Two great questions, Mayor.
Excellent. Well, the parks were victimized by the property tax caps. That was another
So going
area.
From that $70 million to $30 million, that was, the parks was some of that $40 million that ain't there no more.
Absolutely. But in response to that, when we came in last year, we developed the Adopt a Park program, and that allowed us to address a number of the parks that had not been addressed. It still was not and has not been perfect. In fact, there were a number of parks that were not cut, and that was a great concern. And so what we've since done is worked with members of the corporate community, worked with Catholic Charities, worked with some of the local fraternities and sororities, and there will be a major change. In fact, I just got a call yesterday that one of our local corporations is willing to invest the dollars to fix one of our pools, which is major because we've not had pools open in Gary in about 5 years. So,
wait, no pools?
No pools. Not the only pool we have is that big pool called Lake Michigan.
Okay.
So,
that's a big pool.
Yeah.
No pools. And then on development of a tourist site.
Yes.
That's something that's in play, or a lot of discussion?
You know, there is a lot of discussion. We've not been involved. Any development of that sort would have to be a private development. Mm-hmm. And we're certainly open to any proposals. My position is that our sustainable growth will come through the development of our transportation assets. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've been focused on the airport. That's why we've been focused on the development of trucking carriers. Right now we have 5 of the 10 largest trucking carriers in the city of Gary. So our position is...
Because you all got the railroads.
We have the railroads, we have the highways, And so that is where we believe our long-term gain is. Also in the development of a port. And that's, again, is before the General Assembly. So it's not that we don't think that the development of some type of tourism themed around Michael Jackson is not a good idea. It's just not, it's just that the city isn't willing to invest in it.
Thank you for that. Your great call. Let me go to Brenda right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Thank you for taking my call today.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Mayor Wilson. How are you today?
How are you?
I'm doing well, dear. My question is around education. Brother Kareem kind of went there, but he kind of held back some. I guess my questions are, I got a couple. How many black children attend the Gary Public Schools K through 12? And then what percentage of black children that are in special ed, what percent are black boys? Have you requested data on suspensions and expulsions and even criminalization of youth, particularly as it regards those children who have been trapped into special education? And finally, how do I connect with parents and Gary that are concerned about these issues? And the reason why I say this, dear, is because there seems to be a mindset here in Indianapolis that I don't know, it's like a secret society type thing where parents are either afraid to rock the boat on this issue. Our leadership here in the area are not willing to prevent the kind of maltreatment and abuse that black children are facing in the educational system. And I've asked our city council people to obtain data regarding suspensions and expulsions to understand what is happening in the pipeline in the lives of children. And it seems to be that they either don't care, they're afraid, or they just don't want to delve into this issue. Right, and I don't understand it.
Right, let me let the mayor respond because we're running short of time. I have to get her to another appointment. Mayor?
Well, you know, about 90% of our students are African American. And when you add Latinos, you're probably looking at about 95% that are children of color. And so it is certainly one of the concerns that I have. I don't have any suspension or expulsion information, but what I can tell you is that even though people will tell you that the mayor has no authority or control in the area of education, it is has been my position since taking office that I have a tremendous responsibility to our young people. Now, we've not seen a disproportionate share of folks being suspended. We have had tremendous challenges and with our special education area, so much so that the state is involved and that we are
is that because that's because you weren't providing services?
Well, because the services weren't being provided, because children weren't being appropriately I don't want to say tracked, but appropriately steered in the area of special education.
And so the state intervened?
And the state has intervened. So that is something that I know that the school corporation is working on and working on in order to...
And they would have intervened because parents complained. Somebody had to complain.
I don't know that there was as much complaining from parents, although there was some,
right,
as much as it was just a sense of responsibility to the children from the state.
See, the things you learn on this program. A couple other things. You're mayor, right?
Yes.
So do you preside over a council, or does the council have people they preside over their own council?
No, the council has a president.
Okay.
So that's a totally separate body, you know, and although we work very closely with them.
So now, how many people on the council?
There are 9 members of the council.
All right. Are all 9 elected from individual districts representing neighborhoods of the city of Gary?
There are 6 district representatives and 3 at large.
Wait a minute. You have at large council people in Gary?
We do. Yes.
And do the people of Gary like having at large council people?
They do.
They do?
Absolutely.
And that's always been a part of Gary ever since Mr. Gary said, "I'm forming a city next to the Smoky Steel Mill"?
There it has been.
So if Gary has, Chris, has at large council people.
I knew I was walking into something, Amos.
No, I just wanted to hear
I'm not trying to get you in trouble, Mayor. I was just told yesterday that at-large council is unproductive and it's wasted government and it doesn't work. And here's little Gary trying to rebuild their airport and get trucking, and they got a baseball team, and they're getting economic development and the Jacksons visit, and it seems to be working. And I'm just as I meet people from other cities in Indiana, I'm trying to figure out why the legislature that's trying to keep you from having your dollars from the casino entry, why they want to deny 900,000 people in Indianapolis the ability that the people of Gary have. I'm just learning about your this call the Common Council. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they ought to call it the Indianapolis Common Council, and then the legislature would think it's wonderful. Anyway, you have a great website.
Thank you.
With the city of Gary, it's just go to gary.in.us, and then your Twitter handle is like, what is it? Team Gary? What is
yes.
it?
Yes.
Team what is that? Gary. It's all about a team thing?
It's all about team. First, I have to give kudos to Chelsea Whittington and Mike Berry for the website because they worked on that. The other thing is that we have a Team Gary concept. In fact, Amos, I have a Team Gary pin for you.
Uh-oh.
So that you can be a part of Team Gary.
Because we're coming
people.
This summer. We are going to do the
to
baseball game in
to.
Gary. We got to figure out how Chris can go. Because Chris Gismay can never go on.
Well, he never goes on any of the. You and Chris come.
Yeah, we've got to go because it's right there downtown by the train.
Exactly.
All right, the mayor of Gary, Indiana, Sister Karen Freeman Wilson. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me, Amos. We appreciate it.